Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Tabletop Discussions with Brittany and Manny. Okay, he said his own name. Well, today we are doing something a little bit different. We're kind of just going with the flow. We're going to talk about some current events, some things that we have seen in the news recently that we just want to discuss. So it's a rainy day here in Ohio, so we just decided that we're gonna do our podcast this morning instead of doing it later in the evening. So let's go.
So we're currently in the windowsill, so it's not a tabletop discussions, it's a windowsill discussions, but tabletop probably sounds better. So tabletop discussions, and we're ready to go. We were deciding what the next topic was going to be. And as many of you know, or maybe many of you don't know, prior to Brittany coming here to Northeast Ohio, she was in Nashville, Tennessee. So she was telling me about some flooding that was happening in Tennessee. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so it floods often in Tennessee. I think their most recent, like, biggest flood that was pretty bad was in 2010, but obviously I was not there at that time. I moved to Nashville in 2015. But anywho, I was reading the news this morning and I saw that there was a lot of major massive flooding that was happening in the area that I used to live in and other parts of Nashville and like the surrounding suburbs. So I was telling Emmanuel about that, and that prompted us to discuss like who would we rescue if we were in an emergency like that. Because I was telling him, like, okay, you know, there's a lot of flooding. They're telling people to like stay in their homes, cars are like being swept away and things like that. And he was like, so if it was a major flood like that, he was saying that he would want to help people. He would want to go rescue people. And I was saying, absolutely not. We are not about to rescue people. And we have to be concerned about our own well-being.
Yeah, no, but we have to be beneficial to the people around us.
If there is a flood or a catastrophe, I'm sorry, I'm not going to rescue other people. Like, unless you are in my immediate reach, like I can reach out and grab you. But if we're supposed to be trying to get away and get to safety, like, there may not be opportunities to be trying to go back and get people. We need to be concerned about our own well-being.
No. There's a difference, because if I'm helping other people, that's humanitarian. A philanthropist, it's like you're paying or getting other people to do it. It's like I'd rather do it myself. If I see people, well, like, what if it was a flood right here? And right there on the second floor, you see the rental office or whatever. Everybody is sitting over there. They stranded. They can't get out. We should go rescue them.
Babe, that means we're going to have to leave our level of safety to go trudge through deep waters when they're saying stay in the house, don't come out if you don't have to. No. It would be one thing if people were sitting like in arm's reach from us and we could just reach out and grab them and be like, come get in our house or whatever.
But what if we were those people that need to be rescued?
I understand that, but I can't think about if other people would be willing to help me or not. That's a gamble. I don't know if they would or if they wouldn't.
But that's when the adrenaline, human nature kicks in. That you just risk life and limb to save someone else. I'll save you.
Yes, because you love me.
Yeah, but that's not my job to save you. I want to save you.
Right, but it's not your job to save those other people either.
But I want to save them.
I'm gonna have to lean on the side of not saving the other people, only because we have to be concerned about our own well-being at the same, especially during a catastrophe like that. Like, it's hard to be like, okay, I'm about to go back and get these 10 people when we're trying to run and get to our own level of safety.
So if we save ourselves first, then can we go save other people?
That means that we would have to go back out into danger to get them, and we just made it to a level of safety.
But we risked danger to save ourselves.
And that was enough.
See, this, like, is, this is This is my new psychology where you have the Titanic syndrome.
Okay, tell them about that. Because you told me about that this morning.
And the Titanic syndrome is essentially that I got mine, you better get yours. Save yourself.
Okay, so elaborate on that so people
because
know.
The Titanic had these boats all along the side of the boats, which were like the rescue boats, and they could hold multiple people, 13, 14, 15 people, if they were filled to capacity. But the people who first got to the boats, they launched the boats, and some of the boats had 2, 3, 4 people on it, and they ain't wait for other people to get on the boat because they wanted to save themselves. So when other people tried to get to the boats were all gone, but they were never really fully filled. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they would all live, but they didn't even try to rescue other people. It's kind of like, if you didn't know, you ain't know. So if we were on the Titanic and we was asleep and we ain't know right away, it's like by the time we came up to the top of the deck, boat would have been gone. So if the world was ending right now,
why are you saying we would have been on the bottom of the deck? That's where all the people who were down and out and didn't have money or nothing was at.
I don't know. We could have been the workers. You never know. But anyway, I don't know. I wasn't on the Titanic because the Titanic was too cold in the waters and we wasn't alive. So, but I think it sunk on April 10th and that's my birthday, right? Oh, didn't it say? Or did it launch on April 10th or something
remember.
Like that?
I don't know.
Something
I'll
like
look
that.
It up while you talk about
it was something. Me and I have an affinity or connection. Like, I wouldn't be going down with the ship. I wouldn't be like the band playing while the ship is going down. Nah. It's like, I would have been that person. I would have woke everybody up to try to get them to the boat and rescue safety.
It sank on April 15th.
Damn it. When did it launch?
May 31st.
Hey, that's backward. It launched
May 31st, 1911, and sank April 15th, 1912.
When did it take off before it sunk?
Oh, I don't know. Mm.
Right?
I'll find it. Keep
okay. So, sure. I would have woke everybody up to try to get to the boats. So, if this building was on fire, I'd be yelling, knocking on everybody's door. Come on, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. But I have to come back to the apartment and get my wallet and keys because I ain't trying to escape without my wallet and keys.
Oh, okay. So listen to this. I told him that if there's a fire, there's a catastrophe in this apartment where I live. I was like, I would do everything in my power to get us out. Like, even if I had to, like, pull you out. And you weigh more than me. You taller than me. So I would probably at that point my adrenaline would kick in and I would just have to like drag you and it would just take over me. He tells me once he gets out of the apartment, he has to come back and get his keys and wallet. For what? Why would you go back and risk your life? You can get new debit cards and credit cards. You just call the company. You cannot get a new life.
I ain't got a phone. It's in the fire.
So you can get a new phone too?
I ain't got no ID, so I can't get a new phone. I can't get nothing out the bank because I ain't got a debit card. I ain't got no ID.
You call them. They will send you one.
Yeah, but still, I have to wait. Who am I call from? I ain't got no phone to call nobody. I ain't got no car keys to drive anywhere. I'm just homeless out here.
You're not homeless.
In front of a bonfire.
You're not homeless.
Well, I would be. I have no ID, so that means I'm a nobody. I have no keys.
That's
can't
temporary.
Can't drive nowhere. I have no wallet. I have nothing. I can't even get to my direct deposit. I can't even get to work because my work badge is in my car. And I can't get in my car.
They get you a new one.
So I can't even go to work.
They give you a new one.
I'm a John Doe.
Then, hey, what about me? If my place is the one that would be burning up.
Yeah, but I would have saved you.
I just said I was saving you, so, pulling you out.
Look, so if this was a movie, I'll be that person that I'll fight the darkness for everybody to escape. I'm like, save yourself, and then I'll fight the darkness, like or the evil or whatever it is, to make sure you and everyone else gets away and gets to safety. I'll be a martyr.
What about if I'm like, no, I have to help you?
Would you do that?
Yeah, I don't want you to die okay. And be eaten
so,
up or something.
So, you saying you would stay back to help me fight the darkness mm-hmm. or the evil if we were in one of those movies, mm-hmm. right? And you would risk life and limb just to help me fight. But if I want to go rescue people that's trapped in the storm or the fire, you won't go with me.
We don't know them people.
Yeah, but you're going to
protect
me.
We don't know those people. They're strangers.
Yeah, but
I know you.
Yeah, but it'll be on your conscience too.
What? Them people that's trapped?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't. It would be on my conscience if I left you there to just die and wither away.
So why don't you just go with me?
I don't want neither one of us to go
out. Yeah, but we could be heroes together.
No, I'd rather be a hero to you to help you to save your soul in life.
But you won't help me save other people.
Not if we have to leave our level of safety.
All right. Let's say that the person we're helping to save is one of your classmates.
It depends on who.
All right. What if we're at your job and is one of your coworkers and I come to save you and they're trapped on the other side of the fire? What
are they in arm's reach?
No. What would you say? I do your voice. You'd be like, girl, you better say it yourself. You should have called somebody like I did. That's probably what you'll say.
That's all I'm saying. The bottom line, the overall thing before we jump to another topic is that I am okay with us saving each other, saving family, because that's important. But if we're already at a level of safety,
all right, so you're safe,
I'm not going to risk running back out there to go save people I don't know. Now, okay. That might sound selfish. Okay. That might sound whatever. But it is what it is.
So
and that's how I feel.
So I can save family, right?
Yeah. It's like if your mom was out there.
All right. So I can save family. What if it's one of my play cousins?
That ain't real family. That's a play cousin. But, I said real family.
But what if it's a play cousin?
Play cousins are not real family.
Says who?
Me.
It might be. Play cousins can be real family. But I can't save them because we ain't got blood connection.
No. We gotta keep our energy for real family.
Okay, so if I'm trying to rescue you, and then you be like, oh, you gotta save my aunt too. I'll be like, how I know that's really your aunt? Show me some verification. Or
you
I ain't
would
gonna
have
help
met these
her.
People, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but if I've never seen them before, I ain't going to help you.
Well, I ain't never seen your play cousin, so you can't help
yeah,
them.
Yeah, so I won't say play cousin. I'll just tell you it's my cousin. But you ain't going to help me anyway. You don't even rescue me. So
I'm going to rescue you, people who are related to you, like your mom, your sister, your brother, cousins who I know are legitimately your cousins. And then I feel like you would do the same to me.
So in other words, I'm a humanitarian and you're a philanthropist. You're a philanthropy. You'll donate to worthy causes, to like animal and human rescue and stuff like that.
I'm a humanitarian in the aspect of depending on what the situation is.
But I'm at service to the people. So I'm rescuing people.
We're both humanitarians every day. We are of service to the people. We service people every day, just in our jobs alone.
Yeah, I know, but if you don't help me rescue the people, karma.
Don't try to put that on me. People want to put karma on people when the person isn't doing something they want them to do.
Oh.
But that's a whole nother topic.
Okay, fine.
So.
Fine. I'll rescue you if I can go back and get my keys, ID, wallet, cell phone charger.
Then I gotta go too.
Well, I guess you'll just be going. So if you try to, like, oh, we gotta get out the house. Nah, hold on. I'm getting fully dressed too.
You wanna risk burning up in a fire?
To run outside naked?
But when it's a catastrophe, you're not gonna have all that time. You might, what you be saying? Bucket ass naked, booty butt naked.
So
running out the house.
So in other words, for the rest of my life, I'm sleeping with my boots on, long sleeve.
Anticipating something to happen.
But you know what? It's a good thing we're wearing masks now, because if we're wearing a mask, it helped me with the smoke inhalation. As soon as the fire, I just throw my mask on. It gives us a couple of extra minutes to escape, unless they reduce the mask policy in our state.
Well, speaking of masks, we are going to switch topics. You guys see how we feel about, I guess, rescuing others. But before we move on, I do want to, you know, send out well wishes to everyone in Nashville, people that I know, friends who are still there. I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone is well and that no one is being affected or being hurt or anything like that due to all the floods that are happening. So I wish you well in Nashville, everyone.
And just so you know, if you are within one quick car ride away, I will be headed there with sandbags, water. There's like 7,000 or 8,000 homes without lights right now. I'll be coming with flashlights and candles, doing what I can to help.
And when is this happening?
No, I said if you were one car ride away. But like right now, I can't drive there in a couple of hours and be back later today.
Nope, you can't. But
if you were in Michigan, I would make it.
Oh, that's 2.5 hours. Yeah, I can make it then. Yes. Okay, so moving on. Now we're going to discuss how actually a lot of states have ended their mask mandates. So
what was it, like 20 states either ended or will be ending between
now and April 6th? Yeah, so I'm going to name them. This is an article from CNN on March 9th, 2021.
Oh, I think there's a newer one now because it's 20 states.
Okay. But
that's probably close.
Well, according to this, it is Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, Arizona, Alaska, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, and Idaho.
And I think Indiana is next.
Oh, yeah, you did some Indiana. Okay. So, let me get your thoughts. Go ahead. What do you think about that?
Well, to each his own. Mm-hmm. So, that's all I'm saying. I'm thinking everybody should wear their mask in case there's a fire. It'll actually help you with the carbon monoxide. You know what I'm saying? The carbon monoxide. But seriously, I actually feel that, personally, I guess nationally, it was never a federal mandate for people to wear their mask as a country. It was left individual to the states as their own recommendation. So, they do have the power or the ability to change it, but at the same time, even if it's changed, those stores, like Kroger's and different things, they still have the right to require them, just like they have the right to require you to have on a shirt and shoes for service. Mm-hmm. And then you, as a personal, as a citizen, you still have your own right because they're reducing it. So the people who are stopping wearing their mask is because they didn't want to wear their mask anyway. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people in those states, they are reducing, but those people said, but I'm still wearing my mask. Mm-hmm. So I actually feel, yeah, they can reduce it. But then you also get a better idea of the people who actually felt that they should have been wearing a mask to begin with. Mm-hmm. Because if they change that policy today and you go to work tomorrow and you see 75% of people without the mask, you'd be like, these people weren't wearing their masks anyway. Mm-hmm. They were just wearing it for show.
Yeah.
Because I see it when people, they get out of their car and they walk to the store and they be like, oh, shoot. And they walk and grab the mask off their dashboard and throw it on. Like they putting on their hat to block the sun. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you actually have a better idea. Sometimes looking at the way people are wearing their masks lets you know how much they really wear it.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
So.
I don't know how I feel about this. I feel that a lot of the states that I am seeing that are now lifting these bans, these are a lot of the states at the beginning of COVID, like their governors and things were kind of like very adamant from the very beginning of like, we don't need to do this. I'm going to leave it up to our citizens to choose and make decisions. Because I know when this first started, I was currently living in Tennessee, and the governor, at that time, was still the same governor. He was pretty much not listening to any of the facts that were being given to him regarding, like, you know, the health departments and stuff like that. And he kept saying, we have very smart citizens in the state of Tennessee, and we're going to leave it to them to just do the right things. And yeah, that sounds cute and everything like that. But if you give the person the option to really not follow the rules, more than likely, they're not going to typically follow the rules. So I'm not really shocked by a lot of these southern states, I will say, who are lifting their mask mandates, because they didn't really have strict rules from the beginning when it came to COVID. So I'm not really shocked at all by like Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. Like, I'm not alarmed by it. any of this.
Well, you know, I really don't want to talk about this because I don't want it to sound like I have on a tinfoil hat. However, I will say this. But I am a nurse practitioner. I just don't ever really talk about any of our videos. And, you know, a lot of the reasons that the masks were never really fully a federal mandate is because the science behind the mask doesn't actually fully fit the situation. So the mask was a suggestion because, you know, there's three masks. There's the cloth mask, mm-hmm. there's the regular paper mask, there's the surgical mask, and then there's the N95 mask. Mm-hmm. With this being a virus, and they measure it in microns, which is actually like the size, mm-hmm. anything less than an N95, it doesn't fully offer protection. Which is why at the beginning, it was never really a mandate, and there's still a lot of people that says they're not going to wear a mask because they couldn't come out and just say the mask is for protection because if you're not wearing an N95, it doesn't fully give protection. Mm-hmm. So, which is why it was never really a federal mandate. Mm-hmm. So they started off, and then the surgical masks, which are more than a paper mask, they're not one ply, they're like multiple ply. They don't fully fit the virus, but the way that they're meshed together, it lines up, it like helps with a lot of it. The point of us wearing masks is not to protect these masks that we're wearing currently, these cloth and these paper masks, is not to protect us from receiving the virus, is to protect us from transmitting the virus. Mm-hmm. So if we actually had the virus and it's coming out of our mouth, our nose, and different things, it gets trapped in the inside of our mask. Mm-hmm. That some of it could get out, but not as much. Mm-hmm. But as a society, we're looking at the other way around, that we're wearing masks to protect us from other people, but we're actually wearing masks to protect us from giving it to other people. Mm-hmm. So, but they never really fully passed out data that way, so people are looking at it different in a way they're protecting themselves. But really, you're wearing a mask to protect you from giving it to me. Mm-hmm. But they never was like clear, and they're leaving it to the states, and they couldn't say these masks offer you protection because the paper mask offers zero protection if the person with it has the virus and they're shedding the virus and you're wearing just the paper mask. It's like not really fully protecting you. It's just it can aid a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a weird thing. So a lot of the people that's not so wearing masks. So I don't know when they were talking about as far as taking the vaccine and talking about when the people can stop wearing masks is because the thought was if you took the vaccine and after a period of time, even if you came across, you wouldn't be shedding the virus. So you wouldn't be a risk to the other people, which is why they were talking about the people who took the vaccine not wearing masks first, mm-hmm. because you wouldn't be able to shed it versus the person who didn't take the vaccine and they might get the virus. And even though they don't have symptoms, they could still be able to transmit it. Mm-hmm. Which is why the thought was if you took the virus, you'll drop the mask where the people who wouldn't drop the mask, which kind of goes. But it's like the way the guideline is too many people as experts and everybody's coming out with stuff. So it's like they could have said if you took the vaccine, maybe, you know, in layers, those people can drop the mask first. But a lot of these days, they're just kind of dropping it. But I have to say, how many people was wearing it anyway?
So, do you feel that with these states that we mentioned, plus a few others, do you feel that we are going to see a potential increase of COVID cases happen again? Like, I know COVID is, I don't really know if it's still rising or if it's just kind of leveled off in certain areas and stuff like that. But do you think in these states that because they're no longer requiring masks that they could see an increase of cases?
Well, I think they probably get an increase in case, but it wasn't just based on the whole losing of the mask thing. It was just with the reopening of society because the virus was still there in a lot of places, but the places weren't as congested. Mm-hmm. There was better sanitation as far as people hand washing. Because mm-hmm. I know when I go to like basketball games and football games where 60,000, 70,000 people, everybody is going to the bathroom, everybody touching the same door. Mm-hmm. There's not hand sanitizer, wasn't outside of the door. Mm-hmm. Everybody, they're sitting at their seat watching the game. The person come offers beer and refreshments. You got your dirty hands because you were sitting there touching the seat, mm-hmm. watching it, reaching your hand in the popcorn. You know, it's all this. This contamination thing was happening that people didn't have the wherewithal. Plus, it was too congested. Mm-hmm. That I think that the rising cases more due to the congestion of people. Like concerts are congested, mm-hmm. and people don't have hand sanitizer at the concert. Just constantly wiping their hands and different things. So I think that they're thinking the rise will come with that, which is why they're slowly increasing capacity to stuff. It's just some of the states I know, like Vegas. Or Nevada is slowly increasing up the occupancy of stuff, but as other places like Texas, they're going from not being full to actually being fully open.
Yeah,
some of the states that are reducing the mask, they're still allowing the businesses to choose what they want, but they're not allowing occupancy and everything to just go from zero all the way up. And I think that the step approach kind of works better because will mitigate.
So you do believe in the step approach. I agree with that. At the same time, you also would say that you would agree that it's time to open things back up and we shouldn't still continue to be on this self-induced quarantine for everything.
Well, I actually do, because contrary to public health and opinion, I know that with everything being closed, which I guess is really the bigger pressure, is the damage that it's doing to society and the economy as far mm-hmm. as like the small business owners and a lot of the major businesses. It's like it's changing the way that we do business and the money isn't flowing around. And it's actually affecting, because you're looking at the unemployment rate and different things and places like Nevada and Vegas, all those people that have hospitality jobs. Mm-hmm. It's like, There's no other job there because that's actually the bigger market. Mm-hmm. So it's the damage that it's doing to people's households and different things. So even if they didn't fully feel like it was actually time, it's the other end, the damage that it's doing. So it's like one of those tricky things.
Yeah.
Because if they keep everything kind of fully closed, it's like it'll be more damaging. We'll have to get stimulus checks every month. So I think it's one of those, I'm not going to say only the strong survive because that's actually cruel, but I'm actually saying that there's other factors. It's not just because the cases are going down mm-hmm. and everything is the way that it's affecting their society, tourism. Like Hawaii was suffering because it was just the people who live in Hawaii. No one was able to come to Hawaii and they don't export really anything from Hawaii. You know, Hawaii is expensive. Mm-hmm. No one was actually coming. All those people that work on the beach, they weren't working. They're getting, what, 3 stimulus checks over a year period? Mm-hmm. It's like, they can't keep that going. Unemployment only goes, but so far. And I was like, it's difficult. It's a difficult time. It's a difficult decision. Mm-hmm. So, but I actually think that it's great when they come out with it, with a plan, versus the people that just come out and say, next week, everything open. Because people go crazy. Like, I know, remember in February here, where they
opened the bars.
Yeah, they opened up the bars. And then we had reservations for the painting thing, and it was supposed to be dinners and all that. But they also say it was okay for buffet style. Mm-hmm. And the day of our dinner, they changed it to buffet style. Mm-hmm. Like, because people, as soon as you lose the certain requirements, people try to revert things back to the way that they were.
Right. So that leads me to my next question, which is, what is your comfort level now that society is opening up a little bit more? I know I posed that question to you, but it's kind of for both of us. So
what is my stance?
Yeah.
You know what? I love wearing my mask. Every time I put on my mask, I always feel like I'm in those movies. I'm like, you got your mask, right? I like to throw my mask on, and then we walk in the store. I almost feel like we bank robbers. We walk, because I pull my mask all the way up so you can only see my eyes. And then always, whenever there's a camera in the front, I always stare at the camera. Because if I'd have did that in 2019, man, they wouldn't even call the police as soon as we walked through the store.
Sure would.
Oh, you need to go in the bank with your mask. Then you really feel it, because they had all those cameras, and it's the security person holding their, touching their gun, whatever, when you walk in, like, we walk in and just start looking at the cameras, and we, oh, man, that's so fun. But I know what you mean. But anyway, what was the question?
I said, babe, what is your level of comfort and stance now, I guess, with things being open? Are you comfortable going out? Are you comfortable traveling? Like, do you still have some situations where you're like, I'm not going to do this, but I'll do that? Like, where do you draw the line?
Well, I would actually say it's like a conflict, because as a healthcare worker or healthcare provider, is I was always noticed like different things like cleanliness and sanitation and different things. So I know I stopped going to Subway. This mm-hmm. was years ago. Mm-hmm. That I pick and choose when I go, because when I go to Subway and I see everything lined up, and I see when they throw, I watch to see if they throw on the glove. Mm-hmm. And then when they make the food, I look to see what things they're touching. Like, sometimes they'll be making your sandwich and they'll be like, you want it warm? And they're still in the process of making your sandwich. They turn around with that glove hand, pull over in the mm-hmm. oven or microwave, turn that on, get ready, and then start making your second sandwich. Mm-hmm. But they already touched on that microwave mm-hmm. heater thing. And mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm cool. Or then the phone ring. Or they try to use their other hand and ring up stuff. Mm-hmm. Not saying they all do it, but it's like I've noticed stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or when I go to restaurants and I see them in the back working where you can see them through the little window, mm-hmm. I kind of like look at what stuff they're doing. Like, I see they're making pizza and their phone is in their back pocket sticking out. And then I see their phone ring and they pull out that text on their phone, put it back in their pocket, grab the pizza, mm-hmm. start slicing. It's like I always used to look at that kind of stuff. And I'm going to say I probably felt more safe if I couldn't see the people in the back cooking.
Because then you wouldn't have an idea of what's happening.
So it's like, so that's why I like hibachi, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're making at your table and I'm watching what they're doing and how they're doing and different things. So, but as a person, when I go place, I was always looking for hand sanitizer and different things like that. But that was when people was just shedding stuff like the common cold and different things mm-hmm. like that, right? Mm-hmm. So in the winter, I got more protective of that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I used to walk in patients' room to see them, a lot of times they're looking to see when I walk in to see if I go through the process of hand sanitizer and then coming to sit next mm-hmm. to them. And a lot of people, they look for that because they'll say, did you wash your hands? Or mm-hmm. it's like they look for it. But for a lot of healthcare people I work with, it was almost like a routine to show that they, like, kind of like when people, like, they walk into the room, they wash their hands while they're talking to you. How are you doing today? Mm-hmm. And it's like part of their routine. Mm-hmm. Not that they're always thinking, I need to clean and wash my hands before I interact with this person. Because they sit at the keyboard and start eating chips with a dirty keyboard. Right? Or the people that go into the bathroom with their cell phone. And they're sitting in the bathroom, sitting on the toilet, using the bathroom, texting on their phone, sit their phone down, wipe up, grab their phone, put it in their pocket, then go wash their hands. Like, when you really think about that, it was careless, like, all the time. So mm-hmm. I actually say that now I actually pay attention to everything, like, even more. Even when you go to the store, you know how many people touched that toilet paper before you bought it? Like, the person could have had Corona in the back room, and they stocking shelves.
Yeah.
And then you grab that Corona, because it thrives on surfaces. So we always mm-hmm. talk about how we're getting it from people around mm-hmm. us, but it's not that we're getting it from the people around us. It's like the droplets are on the surfaces mm-hmm. of stuff that we're touching and grabbing, and people sitting there picking up toilet paper, but at the same time eating a piece of pound cake with their hands. You know, or the people that have on gloves just eating French fries with the gloves off. Like, in real life. No, so I think that it was actually good because it made us feel careless, but As a healthcare person, I should probably tell people that hand sanitizer does not replace hand washing. That's and people, true. They focus on the hand sanitizer many times, but they ain't trying to wash hands. And that's actually, the friction from washing hands is actually more beneficial. People are like overdoing it. So I'm like, you know what? Pretty soon the virus is going to become immune to the alcohol that's in hand sanitizer. Because we're like, it's overused. Yeah. So, I'm wearing my mask because I like my mask. And if I'm going to get something, I'm going to get it for me. Like, I'm not just going to stop wearing my mask just because I don't have to.
Yeah, I feel I mean, for me, I don't have a problem wearing the mask. It is what it is. And even with things opening back up, I will say my level of comfort is probably a little bit, like, I'm okay with doing things. Like, I have certain friends, like, they're not doing anything. They're still gonna stay confined to the house. They are still talking about, I'm not getting on a plane. I'm not going to a restaurant or anything like that.
I ain't getting on a plane either.
Calm down, babe, because we're getting on a plane.
Oh, I'm not
at
getting
the end of May.
I'm not getting it.
Anywho, he doesn't know. Be quiet. Anywho, so for me, my comfort level is like, I'm fine with a lot of things right now. Like, we go to restaurants.
I ain't going no more.
I've gone to the mall.
I ain't going no more.
Can I say my part? I'll let you speak.
But I'm not going on planes no more or restaurants.
Okay. And we were just at our Thai restaurant yesterday.
Yeah, but I quit today.
Okay. Anywho. So, like, I'm comfortable with that. We've gone to events. We have done a lot of different things. And my comfort level is I'm okay with that. Because I still take the necessary precautions. I wear my mask. I wash my hands. I use hand sanitizer. I mean, I'm still not trying to be all up in people's faces and things like that. But my level of comfort is just a little bit better than others. Now, I will say this, and I mean, you can think what you want, but I have been vaccinated. So I feel like for me, since I have been fully vaccinated, I feel a little bit more like comfortable. I feel like I have this extra level of security for me. That's just me. I'm not trying to say everybody feels that way. But I feel that I personally have this little bit extra level of security that where, like, I would feel comfortable doing other things that maybe other people have not been doing.
Like what?
Like, I would feel comfortable going to, like, bigger events. Like, a concert. If a concert came, I would go. Like, I would go to sporting events. Like, if all those things were, like, fully open, I would be comfortable going.
So, if you were in that state, and they said tomorrow, everything opened back up, and you don't have to wear a mask. You're not going to wear a mask, and not only are you not going to wear a mask, you're going to all those events.
No, I didn't say I was not going to wear a mask. I would still wear my mask, but I'm going to go to a concert. Hmm. Like, I'm just saying, that's just me. Like, let somebody come who, like, I really want to see. I don't know. I love concerts. Let somebody come over there at Bridgestone. No, that's not Bridgestone. Bridgestone is Nashville. What is that called? Over there. What's that stadium right here?
Oh, the Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah, let someone amazing come. I'm going. And I'm going to have my mask on. And I'm going to be up in there dancing, having a good time. I'm going. Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go. I just feel like there's a risk with anything, and it's all about your comfort level. I don't tell people to do things that they are uncomfortable with. I always tell people that do what is within your comfort level. If it's not within your comfort level, don't do it. Like, we don't have to go back and forth. I don't chastise people about their choices. But man, if a concert come in, I'm going.
I hope you would come, but I'm not going.
I'm going to a concert. I'm going.
I'm going to a concert.
I've flown multiple times during COVID. Like, I'm comfortable with certain things. And I just also kind of feel like, being in the healthcare field, I kind of feel like you risk being exposed to multiple things anyway. So I feel like me being a dentist, I'm in very close proximity to people's personal space, to their mouth. The people are breathing on me. People are spitting on me. I'm dealing with saliva and blood. So I'm like, if I could be that close to a person, I've been okay. I haven't gotten anything yet. I'm going to my concert. Like, that's just me. That's just me. I'm going to a concert.
Oh, I'm not going to.
You don't have to go, babe. It's okay.
But I usually go everywhere you go.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Even with us going places together, if there was something that was just outside of your comfort level, I'm not going to be like, you better do this because I'm doing it. Like, you might have some reservations about certain things that I might not.
I don't even want to play anymore.
Anywho.
Like, I didn't mind getting on a plane, like, when everybody had to wear masks, right? Right? Where the states was mandating everybody wear masks, right? I don't want to get, like, let's say we're going to get on a plane, right? Let's say here. Let's say they say you don't have to wear a mask unless you want to, right? Let's say that's the rule, right? And I'm getting on this plane, traveling to Vegas. And let's say it's 50 people on the plane. And let's say I'm one of 10 people wearing a mask. 40 people ain't wearing a mask. I don't want to be on that plane. It's like, I want everybody to wear a mask. Because if I say that the mask is to protect you from, to protect me from you from giving it to me, it's like, I don't want you to not have on a mask. Like, okay, you took the vaccine. So, maybe you didn't wear a mask. Maybe. But the people who did take the vaccine, since I don't know yet, I want them to wear a mask. So, of course, I didn't take the vaccine.
Right.
So, because I guess I should admit I didn't take the vaccine. So,
it's fine.
I'm perfectly fine. If they say, as long as you ain't take the vaccine, you're required to wear a mask, I keep wearing my mask. That's how you'll see, you go into a store, you be like, oh, babe, I ain't going to this store. There's like 12 people with masks on. That mean they ain't take the vaccine. I ain't going. At least you know. So, I wear my mask. I wear like a bad arm. Matter of fact, you put words on it. I did not.
But I never said that, so I was not wearing a mask. So,
if I'm allegedly at risk because I didn't take the vaccine, it's like everybody who didn't take the vaccine should have on a mask with me. Because if him across the street that I saved from the fire, you know, that fire we was talking about earlier, let's say I'm saving them. And the reason they couldn't get out the building from the fire is because they all body aches and fever and different things. And the fire was caused because they was trying to make a hot toddy to cool off.
They trying to make a what?
A hot toddy to cool off. And they were hurting so bad from their COVID symptoms. That's why they couldn't make it out. And I'm coming to save them. And I'm carrying them. I'm doing CPR, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or whatever. I'm bringing them back, right? And it gave me COVID. And I'm like, dang, man. You should have your mask.
I ain't giving no mouth-to-mouth resuscitation during COVID. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I ain't doing mouth-to-mouth either.
Even though I'm certified to do it. No, nobody does.
Nobody does, like, mouth-to-mouth. Actually, I do got a barrier thing in my first aid kit in the car.
I know people have barrier things, but I'm not doing it. But the bottom line is,
I'm wearing my mask, and I ain't going nowhere that everybody don't have to wear their mask.
Okay, that's fine. And I said that I will wear my mask as well. I'm going to continue to wear my mask, even with me being vaccinated. Like, I'm not about to be out here. But I feel more of a comfort level of doing certain things. So, let somebody come to wherever the Cavs play, and it's somebody I've been waiting to see for a year and a half or 2 years, I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going. All right.
I ain't going. My other other man policy is, if people aren't wearing masks, I will only be around people not wearing masks that I know. So, if I was to die, I can come back to life to say, why you kill me? Right? So, I don't want to be around strangers without masks. So, if I go around my mom without a mask, and then I get sick, I'm going to wake up from death and be like, Mom, why you do this to me?
But when I first met all your family and stuff like that, I didn't know them. And I still, like, when I walked to the house, I had on a mask. But, like, I took it off to, like, talk to everyone and stuff like that. I don't know. I just felt like a level of comfort.
Yes, that's because you know where you got it from.
Or something. Like, I didn't even question it or think about it. I was like, I've never met any of his family. And when I started meeting people and we started to go, like, see people, I just kind of had, I don't know, but it's kind of like,
Now I'm getting depressed. Where my mask at?
Why are you getting depressed?
I'm on my mask.
Why are you getting depressed?
Because I need my mask on.
You're in the house. You don't need it on. We've been around each other, so we're fine.
I look great in my mask.
You look fantastic.
I know.
It was like $1 million.
I know. We should get matching. We do got matching masks.
Yeah, black.
Yeah, we do got matching masks.
So we have these amazing masks that he brought, guys, that are actually really nice. People have been, like, asking me at work if they can have some and stuff like that. I'm like, y'all better go on Amazon. I do. You better go on Amazon and get it.
Oh, no, they're actually, like, approved. I actually like their creation and the way they're made, where they're, like, 2.5 ply with a small little filter in a bit. So I can wear them a little bit at work and get additional protection versus some of those paper masks that feel like toilet paper.
But these masks are stylish to me. They're black, they're sleek, like, they look really good. They go with everything.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Like, they not like the regular blue, like, surgical, whatever looking ones and stuff like that. So, okay, those are our thoughts on COVID-related situations. You see how we both feel. He has different thoughts on things. I do, but, you know, it's fine. It's not interfering with our life and our relationship. We still love each other and go out and have fun and do things.
What if wearing my mask is what gives me superpowers? And because I wear my mask, it what makes our relationship work. It's like my security blanket.
But babe, you take it off.
You know the great thing about wearing masks, though? Like, you know the great thing about making a mask? Especially like when I be working. Like, you know how I like when you're working? People say ridiculous stuff, ridiculous things. And you, like, you're a dentist, right? And sometimes you look at people and you can't make faces because they'll see your face. But you have all the masks, you can make face. But I know your eyes give you away. But you can kind of chuckle and make weird.
I do, because under my mask, sometimes I'm making faces like, actually, before we switch subjects, one of my patients the other day, he did tell me, he was like, am I ever going to see what you look like? I need to know the person who's working on me. And it made me think, like, none of my patients know what I actually look like. And I was like, prior to COVID, like, I would go into a room, I would talk to a patient. Like, I wouldn't have on a mask. Like, I would literally go into a room, talk to a patient. Mm-hmm. I would have conversation with them. They would see my face. I would shake their hands and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't have on any PPE. And then, you know, when they got time to do the procedure, I would put all of that on. And I was like, I kind of miss that. Like, I kind of miss just being free and allowing for my patients to see, like, who I am as, like, a person, to see my face and physical appearance. Because they don't know what I look like. Like, some people took off their masks at work. And I was like, dang, you look like that? Not saying that they look bad. But, like, I just didn't know what these people looked like.
Couldn't recognize them.
Yeah, I was like, masks really hide so much of your appearance.
It's like I was always an eye contact person, but I never really stared at people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, since we're wearing masks, I have to stare at people so I can recognize their eyes. Mm-hmm. To pick them out, because usually mm-hmm. I look at their facial shape, structure, and different things like that. I know back in December, I went on a job interview for a hospitalist position. And when I was going to the interview, it was like a panel interview. It was a lot of people at the table. And they socially, this is the table. But when I was walking in, it was the part where you usually greet everyone and you shake hands and different things. And I didn't really know what to do. And the one guy just had his elbow touch my elbow. Like, yeah. And it's like I went around the table like a funky chicken. And then they socially distance it so everybody can pull down their mask so it can make it more personable. Mm-hmm. Because when I first start talking, I don't my mask, they on their mask, and I didn't even know who was talking because I ain't seen nobody's mouth moving. Mm-hmm. And then this was, and I ain't trying to make fun of people or anything, but we're trying to replace a position at work. So there was this lady who interviewed for a position working for us, and she actually has a hearing problem, like a sensory hearing problem. People that wear their hearing aids that connect also to the back of their head, to the bone or whatever. And she can hear a little bit, but she actually looks at the mouth.
Yeah.
And when they were doing the interview, it's like she was having difficulty because she wanted everybody to pull their mask down to see their mouth. So ultimately, there was a discussion. They felt if it was safe to hire, because we're providing healthcare in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they felt like good hearing was a good component of the job, because you want to know the people are coming up behind you and hearing those kind of sounds. Mm-hmm. But they felt like a issue or problem that they were probably having with it is with their hearing being the way that it actually was. She couldn't really read lips.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody had to pull down their masks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it must be difficult for those people with hearing issues. Yeah, who have
certain disabilities like that. Yeah. And how the I don't know how they've been able to cope. Because, like you said, a lot of people who do have, like, hearing problems and stuff like that, they rely heavily on reading lips.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. COVID has really changed a lot of things, and it's going to change how we move forward in society. But with all that being said, we're going to take a quick little break, and we're going to come back with a really good, interesting topic. Juicy. Everybody's been talking about it.
But before we talk about that topic, I just have to say, I heard something funny when we went to a comedy show that there's one comedian, Finesse Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, we was saw talking. Finesse Mitchell the other night. He was so funny.
I
just
want to leave y'all with this when we talk about the man. He was talking about, you ever notice that when some people can't hear you when you're talking, they pull down their mask so they can hear you better? You ever do that? You be in a restaurant, you be ordering. They be like, I can't hear you. And they pull down their mask like, what was your order?
Spraying on a hot COVID breath.
I just want to leave you all with that, and we'll be right back after this message. Okay, now we're back. Just wanted to talk about another subject really quickly. There was something in the headlines on social media over the last week that there was the Derrick Jackson, and where his mistress came out that they... had extramarital affairs.
Wait a minute. Well, tell people who he is first, because some people might not even know who this man is.
Okay. So, Derrick Jackson, I think I first heard of him probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And he used to come on social media, YouTube, and different things. And he was talking about this love that he had that he actually lost while he was at college and what things he did wrong that he ended up losing her and things he'll never do again. But... And I guess it proceeded where he started giving advice to like women about not to accept certain things that men try to give. Like if a man isn't honest to you, he doesn't love you, a real man will stand up, a real man wouldn't cheat on you. If a man is really a man, he'll go out and work for what he wants. He started giving all these things to like women. Women would ask him questions and he always took their side, but pretty much... putting down men, but saying everything is absolute. Mm-hmm. Like, if he lies to you, he doesn't care about it. If he cheats on you, he doesn't love you. And everything was, there was no in the middle or anything that, some of the thing that I felt that he did with a lot of his speech, even though a lot of women like listen to him, I think he helped their insecurities because he would say, if a man cheats on you, that means he doesn't care about you, but I am a man, and I'll tell you, it doesn't mean that. I think if a man cheats on you, it has nothing to do with him loving you. He can love you all he wants, but it's his insecurities. Mm-hmm. That it has nothing to do with you, per se. If he cheats, he just generally wants to cheat. And that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He just feels that he just still wants to cheat. If he lies to you, it doesn't mean that, but I would say that if he's cheating... Or if a person is lying to you or cheating and you still accept it and continue it on as the other person, as the guy, I feel that we'll lose some respect for you per se because we feel like we're empowered to do whatever we want to do because you know that we're doing it and you don't try to stop it and you don't leave, that it becomes like easier. But as far as him, he's been giving speeches like over the years. A lot of guys just felt some type of way like he's selling us out to make himself look better. But I guess over the years he's been cheating with a lot of people, and she actually knew about a lot of them. It just hadn't really made the headlines.
And she being his wife. Mm-hmm. So what has been happening on social media is that apparently he's had multiple mistresses. His one of them came out and exposed him and all this sort of stuff. And I think the part that has really gotten people is this video that him and his wife recently did. And they were sitting there and he was holding her hand really tightly. And she just kind of looked homely. In a sense, like she had on this, what was it, a bonnet or something? She had on a bonnet in the video. Like she just did not look well put together. And she also had this look of like, I don't know if it was like a look of like fear or something, but I just looked at in the video, she just looked as if she was just like lost or whatever. And, you know, he was admitting all these things in the video and stuff like that. And she was just, like, sitting behind him with this, like, I'm standing by my man sort of situation. But this is my thing about the situation. This man has portrayed an image of being this person who is all for women and loving women and trying to tell women how to get a man and how a man should treat you. And if a man is doing this, that, or the other, then he doesn't like you. But in the background, he's been doing all the opposite things. Like, yeah. He's literally created an image of being his strong black man who doesn't do any wrong. But in reality, he was doing all the wrong. And I kind of feel like you were sitting up here in this video with your wife, like, trying to really give reason and explain the situation of what you were doing. And I'm sorry, but I feel like his wife is a fool. Mm-hmm. This is just my opinion. You can say what you want. But I'm not sitting up in any video with any man who has been living a double life. I'm not trying to add to your narrative. I'm not going to sit there like this happy wife and be like, oh, yes, we talked and prayed about it. Because that's what they were saying. They tried to bring Jesus into it. And I just feel like it's one thing to embarrass me behind the scene, but you're not about to embarrass me on camera in front of all these people. And she just really looked like she didn't have a backbone or anything like that. She looked pretty pathetic to me. And I just feel like she's broken. And I feel like she probably feels it's like, she can't get any better than him. Like, that's the vibe she's giving off.
I think the part that you actually skip with it is after the mistress came out and talked about it and everything, he came on and released a video talking about how this mistress was making up stories and how it was just an old friend that he's known for 12 years. And he said how they make love without having sex. They just have this type of vibe or relationship. But... and then he was talking about how he'd never cheat on his wife. He'd never this. And then the next day, he came out and said, oh, I wasn't telling you guys the truth. My wife knows all about it, blah, blah, blah. I was a bad man. Yes, I cheated on her. Yes, I did. She knows all about it. I told her about it. Then he plugged his book and said, you can hear all about it in my book. Then he also proceeded to say how God forsaked him. And put him in that situation because he said he was separated from his wife and he was weak and God didn't cover or protect him. That he's pretty much saying that God left him out to the wolves and he cheated. But that's insinuating that it was one, but then there was multiple. Mm-hmm. Then after that, then it came out, he not only cheated, but there was he videotaped having sex with multiple women. And he had this thing about that his wife didn't know that he liked dark-skinned women. And he was sleeping with a lot of dark-skinned women. And she was feeling some type of way because she was a little... she wasn't that dark, but she actually felt that she wished she was lighter because she thought that was the kind of women he liked because that's what she thought he was cheating with. But then it found out he was cheating with people darker than her. And he made her feel insecure about her color. And then on top of all the videotape, so then he released the other video that he deleted after that.
Yeah, when he was talking in third person. Yeah,
talking about how Derrick Jackson, I was a bad man. I was wrong for everything that I did. I shouldn't have treated my wife. He shouldn't have treated his wife like that. And it was just like the weird thing. But then he started promoting himself like he was the expert, like because he went through it. But I was like, you know what? When I look at him all now, I'm like, everything he was talking about men shouldn't do, he's probably talking about everything that he was currently doing.
Yes, 100%. And that's what I've been telling people.
She was tolerant, so I wonder if she only sat out there with him because I don't think she just found out about any of this. I think she already knew. It's just the rest of the world didn't know.
I do believe that she already knew, and it was almost like at this point trying to save face and trying to save his brand or whatever by being like, my wife is going to stay by my side and my wife is here. We've already talked about these things and we already discussed these things. But from a woman's viewpoint, I feel like if you have continued to stay around for that sort of behavior, you get what you get.
But you think if that's from a woman's standpoint or is that just from the other person, whoever the other person is? I think people can only do what you allow them to
do. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm alluding to. Like, you knew that he was doing these things or whatever and you stayed around. So I can't really have sympathy for you in regards to that situation. That's just my viewpoint. That's just what I think. If you have stuck around and you know this person has been cheating on you for years within your marriage, this is what you get. Like, I'm not going to feel sad for you. You continue to stay around and you continue to allow for this man to disrespect you and make you feel low and make you not feel good about yourself and stuff like that. Like, you clearly have other issues that are deeper than what we see on the surface.
Well, if you were to do that to me.
What, cheat on you?
Everything that he did. Matter of fact, if I just get indication, you know what I want? I want half.
Half of what? Oh, and we're married?
Yep. Oh. I want all of your left shoes. I want half of your shirts. I'm just going to cut them in half. I want the left side of them. It's like we cutting the couch in half. I want my side. We splitting the remote in half. It's like, so not only would I be taking half of the stuff, I'll be taking half of the stuff that you use, that those stuff won't even be usable. Like, we just got to go. If you got some bananas with six, I'm taking three. But I'm not just taking three whole bananas. Mm-mm. I'm slicing all six up the middle. I want the passenger seat in your SUV. Like, you just be riding around with one front seat. Like, I want that type of half that every time you turn around, you go, remember what you did to me. You be like, man, why? They be like, at work, why your shoes don't match? You be like, girl, let me tell you, you took half. They're like, half of what? They're like, half, we split everything up the middle. I can't even read a whole book no more. Because he took half of it. if you're my beginning and end, I need half of the book.
So you just want to take it all. You don't want me to have nothing left. You like, you did me wrong, so this is what you deserve.
Huh? Yeah. And I'm like, have a nice day. Enjoy your half.
Have a nice life is what it would be.
No, but seriously, just in general, this is not just for relationship purposes. This is just for life purposes. I think everybody should have their own constitution. If you don't know what a constitution is, look it up. We all should have our morals and principles. Mm-hmm. I call that our constitution. Mm-hmm. It's what us as in the country has one, your state mm-hmm. has one, but you should have one of everything that you stand for. Mm-hmm. That's your morals and everything. That there's a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. There's some things that you don't care about that you will allow leeway, but for everything, there comes to a point where this is as far as you'll go with mm-hmm. it. And I think if those situations come up, you should address them. Mm-hmm. That if we're together and you keep coming home late, if you come home late once, I'll be like, yeah. Did I see you coming home late? I want to know, if you don't walk in and tell me why you were late to begin with, and I don't address it, it's more likely to happen again. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes like a trend because you let it go. So if I was to stay out to 9 o'clock, right? One day you don't say nothing. Next time I might stay out till 11 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Next time it might be 1 o'clock. And then next time I ain't even come home. Like, and not saying that I would do that, but I'm saying that's the way trends typically kind of mm-hmm. go. And it's like people would actually communicate. It happens like that at work. People that stressed out and hate work. It didn't start like that. Mm-hmm. It started a little bit, and you let it go. And a little bit more, and you let it go. And then by the time you... So she probably did try to address it recently. But from everything that was released, this wasn't 2021. And I don't even know how he had time to fly people in cheating since he's supposed to be home with his wife and kids. He's worked from home. He's everything. I'm like, but he's flying people in town?
Well, they did say, I guess when they were separated or something, she had went to go live with her mother. Yeah. Or parents for a few months or something like that. Seen
before that.
Well, yeah. So I don't really know. Think but
about the women he's giving advice about men, and they're cheating with him. But he's trying to tell her not to be women who cheat. Mm-hmm. But then essentially, he's cheating with them.
Right, and this leads to another topic of people idolizing people that they see on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You have to be careful with that because people are creating all sorts of narratives. Like, it's easy to create a facade on social media. Nobody would ever really know, but some maybe people that you truly know, if it's real or not. But he's in the public eye. He's appealing to all these women who probably feel like men are crap and blah, 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 blah. So I feel like it was easy for him to get away with things and stuff like that. And you just have to be careful and have a level of discernment when it comes to like idolizing other people's relationships and marriages. Because just because there's a hashtag relationship goals, that does not mean you really want that person's relationship. You just like the ideal of what you see.
Yeah. Look at me. Focus on me. Focus on me. That's what I should say. So you don't need to idolize like anyone or anything. You can just like listen to it to learn and get tips. But I figure the time we're in now is, I'm not going to call it the moment of truth. It's the moment where there's only things you can hide, but you can't fully hide. Mm-hmm. If this was like 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, people that are in the public eye, you didn't have all this extra access mm-hmm. to them. So the same person doing the same thing 20 years ago could have did all these things, but people didn't have camera phones mm-hmm. to record. People wouldn't have cell phones. It's like they didn't have this extra data. So a lot of our people in the spotlight are stars, entertainers. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what was going on in their personal life. Mm-hmm. That they can do all these things, but the way we're in now, it's like you know more about their lives than you normally would. And I'm glad to say mm-hmm. that I'm not in that situation. But I can say I will not be in that situation. Absolutely not. I tell your mama, I snitch on you.
You gonna snitch on me. Don't ever be in that situation. You don't want Pamela to contact you and give you or give you a piece of her mind.
Why would she do that to me?
To let you know about yourself.
She don't do that. Look, I'm here because I want to be here. I chose you. Well, you probably chose me, but I chose you. So I'm here. I'm here on my own accord. Mm-hmm. I actually want to be here. I ain't even got no handcuffs. Like, I'm here because I want to be here. No, but I actually, if I got to cheat on you, I don't need you. That's what I feel.
I think that's very factual. If you have to go through all those sort of different narratives, then clearly you don't really want that person, and you might as well just be single and be alone and go do what you need to do. However, though, there are a lot of men who I feel like Jared Jackson who are kind of like narcissistic and they want their cake and eat it too. And apparently they've been able to get away with it. But now things are coming to the light.
Well, there's this saying that you can track more flies with honey or more bees with honey. How's that saying go? But what I can say,
you can attract more bees with honey than something
else. Than vinegar or something. Whatever you say. But it's actually this. It's like, there's a lot of people that's in a relationship that it's more open, that they're okay with the person that's sleeping with other people. But the cleavage with that is when you're cheating behind someone's back, you're taking that choice away from them. Mm-hmm. Because there's a big group of people that they're okay with it because they know that this is what they're in for. They know it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different type of ugly if you're doing it behind their back. Mm-hmm. Kind of like those people on drugs. It's like the people that know that their boyfriend or girlfriend smokes weed or whatever it is, they're better at it than the one that they find out that whenever they hang with their friends, they're getting high mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. It's different because you have to put up that facade with the person you're supposed to be in it with. Mm-hmm. Because I actually know a couple of people that have, I ain't gonna say it's open relationships, but they do sleep with other people, but the other person knows the other person. Mm-hmm. I guess you can call them swingers, I guess you can. Oh, okay. But I guess different with that is they know what's happening, that they only have one rule, that you're not doing it behind my back.
Mm, so they're both in agreement and know. Yeah.
So, but they're putting the choice, and the two people that I'm actually talking about, one of them does it way more than the other one. The other one just does it from time to time mm-hmm. because they're not fully into it, but it's actually part of their relationship because they discussed it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like they have choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna continue. I think those things are only bad if the other person doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because anything that you're doing, that even if it's not so good things, I'm feel better at it that I know about it before I hear about it somewhere else. Mm. So if I hear from other people.
So you'd rather hear the bad yeah. news first yeah. from me yeah. compared to like being out like, oh, you heard Britney yeah. was doing
that. Yeah, like if you told me, not say you, but if the person I was dating told me myself and I had no suspicion that they told me that they cheated. Mm-hmm. It's different than me suspecting they're cheating. Mm-hmm. And it's even worse if I hear they're cheating.
Yeah.
Like somebody from church be like, heard your wife was cheating on you. Like, and then you got to put up that face like, yeah, I know. Like, acting like you know. Because you can't be like, she's what? Like, you can't, you know, it,
yeah,
it,
you can't come across as like you just had no clue and no idea.
Like, if I hear anything about you from other people that's harmful like that before anybody else, then I have to reevaluate where it is that we stand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel that I need to look behind you. I don't think I even have to ask why you're coming home late. I think you should just supply that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask questions based on that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be sitting at home thinking, it's 11 o'clock. Let me call her and see where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you should have called me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I probably, if I was with a person that ain't coming home, I wouldn't even call. I'd just be laying around watching TV. I might not be asleep, but I'll just wait to see what you come up with. I might even record for the podcast. Like, listen to this. Oh, man, we laughed and the sun came out.
I know, it's so bright. It stopped raining. This is the beautiful. Okay, guys, so we just wanted to touch on these different topics. We did a little something different, the current events. We might do this more often. I like this.
Yeah, so I just want to inform everybody that so there's a big event that's coming up within the next week or so. I'm actually going to be meeting Brittany's parents for the first time. I don't know how that's going to go exactly. I'm actually getting some practice in. You know, I'm getting ready. You know, I'm improving my diet, getting some exercise in. You know, I'm doing all the things to prepare for the meeting. Like, I'm you know, I'm getting coordinated. I'm getting ready for it. No, but seriously, I'm actually looking forward to actually meeting them. And if many of you know or don't know that I'm currently here in Ohio, her parents are in Michigan. So I'm going to be traveling to Michigan because there's this, this story I want to tell everyone about that I had this prophecy about Michigan and about this person I was supposed to meet, which I'm going to share after our next podcast. But I'm looking forward to going to Michigan to fulfill the prophecy. That's all I can say about it now, but I'm actually looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to doing the next podcast. And I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. So I guess we will be reporting back to you all after Easter, after we get back from Michigan, and we'll probably do a podcast on your experience meeting my family.
You think I should record that podcast by myself in my car?
I mean, no, because I want to be part of it too.
No, you're going to have to listen to it like all the other listeners.
I'm going to be a part of this.
You can't ask me questions based on the podcast because you'll be there.
It's just going to be us discussing how it went. What did you think? How did I feel? Because I'm a part of it. Like,
oh, I'm making this about me. But this is not about me. This is about you.
It's not about me. It's about our experience going to Michigan together.
But it's not just
assignment. This will be our first, I guess you could say, trip. Oh, yeah. We haven't traveled outside of Ohio together.
Yes. It'll be our first time being in the car more than 36 minutes in a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, look forward to it. Thank you for tuning in to Tabletop Discussions. So, if I leave you with one thing, is that you only live once. YOLO.
Peace, guys. Bye. See you next week.